And now you're about to hear James Christofferson read Philippians chapter 1, and the reading is what Ashley Allen will be preaching on. Before we do that, though, I just want to say a personal word that I say in that Zoom call that will be available to you later. Ashley Allen's been a unique blessing to this church. She started her ministry as an intern here from Wesley Seminary. She and her mom came and joined this church, and she has grown and flourished in those years. She has really seen the full scope of our ministry, children's ministry, student ministry. Now she's worked with Celebrate Recovery and done pastoral care and so many other things. I really couldn't name them all. But I will say this, she's done all of it with great service to the church and a great love for Flourish United Methodist Church. And because of that, we are who we are. And I pray the richest blessings on Ashley as she moves into this first moment where she'll be the lead pastor of a church at Oakton United Methodist. I'm pleased for them, and I'm pleased for her. There comes a time where the best thing that we can do for someone is to give them the blessing of Godspeed and tell them how much they've meant to us. And so I just want to do that. I've done that in other locations, other times with Ashley, but I wanted you as a congregation to hear me say that because I know I'm speaking for you. And it's really tough to do all the things we're doing right now during the pandemic because we can't do them up close and personal. Please know that we've done our very best to share your best wishes and your appreciation for Ashley. And I share that as the scripture is read, and then Ashley comes to share the sermon.
Hello, and welcome to today's reading. My name is James Christofferson, and I will be reading Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee as for zeal persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gained to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Thanks be to God for the gift of Scripture.
Good morning, church. Would you please join me and pray for me and with me as we continue in worship? Holy God, we come to you now, and we ask that in this time of hearing that you would still our hearts so that we might hear, that you would help us to feel your presence, knowing that your spirit, your power, your presence, it transcends time and space. Help us to be reminded in this time of your goodness in every season. And God, I ask your blessings upon the one who shares, that your grace would be given in abundance. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Well, here we are, a day that I've managed to avoid for 10 years until now. My last Sunday at Floris. My last Sunday amongst the community that has shaped me and supported me for 10 very significant years of my life. When I came to Floris in 2009, much like many of you, I was searching. I had moved to Northern Virginia 2 years prior and hadn't yet found the place that I could call home. Even though I knew Tim Ward through seminary at that point, it wasn't until a friend brought my mom to visit that I, too, decided to visit. And it was actually the second Sunday that we visited that it happened. It was Palm Sunday, 2009, and we were sitting in the fellowship hall, what is now the fellowship hall, but what used to be the sanctuary. And as I sat and listened to the sermon, tears ran down my face. There was the feeling I'd been looking for. I was home. You see, 2 years prior, I had moved here from New York. I had moved here when my stepdad died unexpectedly and my mom was gravely ill. My world had been turned upside down. My plan was out the window. What I was searching for was a faith community, a place to grow, a place to explore my call to ministry, a place to put down roots. After almost 2 years of feeling tossed about and just generally unsure. And there I sat, tears streaming down my face. I found that. And over the last 10 years, it has only been proven over and over and over again that this is home. It's been my honor and privilege to call Floris home all of these years. I was first a member. And then, as Tom shared, I became an intern, and then, to my shock and joy, I was given the great honor of becoming one of the pastors. You all have seen me through loss, vocationally and personally, through graduation, through ordination, and now marriage. Marriage to a wonderful man and a devoted father, a man who, without Floris, I may never have met. You've trusted me with some of the most sacred moments of your lives. You've trusted me with your children. You've believed in me, and you have taught me more than a book or a classroom ever could. You see, you taught me what it means to be the church. So today, that's what I want to reflect on. I want to reflect on and share what I have learned because of you. Because of you, I have learned what Christian community can be. I have seen in action precisely what Paul challenges and encourages communities in his letters to be. Unified, gracious, humble, kind, living in a way that brings honor and glory to God, focused on the good, serving one another, challenging one another, and encouraging one another. Because of you, I've learned what it means for a Christian community to care for the least among us. My first role on staff was in children's ministry, and watching you all teach the littlest of us so faithfully, watching you show up week after week and joyfully sharing the gospel with the children of Floris inspired me to want to do the same. I can close my eyes and I can still see the kindergarten parades going down the Sunday school hallways. I can still hear the scripture being recited and the songs being sung in the hangar. I can see the children's choir standing right here, singing loud and proud, doing the hand motions and the choreography, not all of which was choreographed. The children of Floris brought to life what it means to have faith like a child. And with your care and your guidance, they learned what they need to grow in their faith. So keep leading them, keep guiding them, because they need you, and frankly, we need them. Because of you, I've learned the value of authenticity in Christian community and the importance of fighting for people within the community. I've learned to never give up on those that you love and that being willing to have hard conversations in community is an act of love. My time in student ministries is a good example of that. Our students and leaders here are so spectacular. I couldn't even find a word adequate enough to describe how incredible our students and leaders are. Students, you know authenticity when you see it, and that's what you're about. You ask the good, hard questions, and you want real answers. You taught me how to think in that way and how to make faith relevant to an ever-changing culture. You certainly kept me on my toes. Students, you helped me understand what you need, and you were bold enough to say it. And it's you, the students who were able to sit with me and share your needs, to share the gaps and what was meaningful, what was helpful to you. It's you that uniquely helped me and taught me. And while that was not a rare occurrence, there is an instance or two that stands out to me. I remember one was two students on a mission trip who sat down with me at the end of the week, and it had been a hard week. And they sat down to encourage me, but also to offer input from a student's and mission trip veteran's perspective. They didn't grumble and complain behind my back. They didn't wait until they got home and unload on their parents. They sat down with me right there and shared with me so that I could learn from them, so that I could, in that moment, make changes that would continue to help our group. And leaders, a lot of that is because of your example. Your willingness to commit to serving these students so sacrificially was the example of Christ to me, and I know it was to them as well. You spent your evenings and your weekends building relationships and trust. Some of you even gave your work vacation to lead on mission trips. And those mission trips. Because of you, I have learned that we have the hardest working students ever. I kid you not, we do in fact have a reputation for having the hardest working students. I've learned that sleep is overrated and that forever bonds are formed when community comes together around a goal and a task. And leaders, you were right in there with me. You were right in there with them every step of the way. Your faithfulness and your sacrifice has changed lives, has saved lives, and has certainly left a lasting impact. You've planted seeds that I am seeing bear fruit even now, and I know will reap a harvest as these students continue to grow. Because of you, I've learned the power of love and second chances. In Christian community, we come together as people from such different backgrounds and experiences. But when we acknowledge that we all have hurts, that we all have hang-ups, we level the playing field. When we realize we all need Jesus, we all come and find each other at the same starting point. And you've taught me that no matter where someone comes from, no matter what their experience has been, that through the power of Christ's love and the love of community, that all things are possible. There was a young woman who came to celebrate recovery, and this was a few years ago. When she came, she was suicidal. She believed that God had walked away from her altogether. She felt helpless and hopeless, but she came every week. She then joined a life group here at Floris, where she was welcomed with open arms. And as she went through hardships, even after she was getting plugged in here at the church, it was the life groups and the community that she had started to find and form that carried her through those moments, that continued to be the extension of love and grace and hope for her. She began attending worship. And through the love and care that she received here, that she received because of this church, she is now hopeful. She's not suicidal. Her relationship with God has grown. She's pursuing a new career. She's connected and she's strong. And that's what Christian community can do. You've shown me that church is who and what, not where. That church is when the people of God, the Christian community, are living out love and serving one another. In the last year, the launch of our house churches through the online campus has reminded me of this truth. Hearing from those who didn't have church and without house church would not have had any way to access church say, "I am just so glad to be able to worship." People like the Jewish woman who, because of house church, was able to worship with Floris from Asheville, North Carolina, and in her last days felt connected to God and to community both near and far. People who, through our online campus, have been able to find connection and who felt cared for, even though they may never set foot inside of this building. Church, your hospitality knows no bounds. Your care surpasses distance, and your example of Christ's love is precisely what church is meant to be. As a part of this Christian community, you have helped me find my voice, and you've encouraged me. You took the time to hear my stories and to share yours with me. As a part of this community, I've learned the beauty of a spreadsheet, the power of a soup supper, and the impact of joyful generosity. I've learned that hard work pays off in a lot of ways, and that relationships are always worth it. I've learned the significance of saying, "I messed up," and the freedom in asking for help. And in all of this, I've learned what it means to be a part of reflecting and bearing God's kingdom in community. There are some things I think you know about me after 10 years together. I love coffee. I don't love mornings. I love people. And I love music. I'm hopeful that you know more about me than that, but for the sake of the point, we'll leave it at those four. One of my favorite songs comes from the musical Wicked, and it's called For Good. I actually sang it at my stepfather's funeral in 2007. You see, I was actually discerning my call to ministry in that same weekend, the same weekend as his unexpected death. And I sang this for him because of the impact that he had on my life. See, he was not only my dad, but he was also a United Methodist pastor. I'd like to share some of the lyrics with you. I've heard it said that people come into our lives for a reason, bringing something we must learn, and we are led to those who help us most to grow if we let them, and they help us in return. Well, I don't know if I believe that's true, but I know I'm who I am today because I knew you. Friends, who we are, who we become is a result of those we journey with. Some good, some not so good, but all leave a mark on us. I know that I am who I am today because of you, because of what I've learned through you and with you. And so I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I view my departure today not as the end, but instead to be continued. Because what I've learned here is because of who you all are. And what I know is that you will continue to love, to learn, to give, to grow, and to worship, no matter what. I've learned, especially through this season of COVID, that nothing will keep you from being the Christian community that Christ has called us to be. I know you will continue to have an impact on each other and on people just like me, those searching for a home, feeling tossed about, looking for a place to belong, to grow, and for a community. Our partnership in the gospel will continue as well. Because even though we may not be doing life side by side, I will carry you with me. Always. I've been avoiding this moment for 10 years for two reasons. The first is because I've been abundantly fulfilled here. The second is because I felt strongly at each point where a move was a possibility that the Spirit was calling me to stay. Sure enough, the Holy Spirit moved every time so that I could stay. And as only the Spirit can do, the Spirit has moved in this season so that I can go. The Holy Spirit was actually preparing me for the specific move to Oakton UMC long before I knew it could even be a possibility. And I'd love to share that story with you sometime. When Paul wrote the letter that we heard to the Philippians, he wasn't actually in Philippi. God had moved him at this point, but he carried them with him and his gratitude for them and joy because of them, because of their ministry together. And that's what led him to write this, what is known as his most heartfelt letter. I am so grateful to be able to share my letter with you today before I go. So while there is sadness in my leaving, I do leave with joy. I am full of joy because of my time here with you. I am full of joy because of what lies ahead. I am excited for this next season to take what I've learned and the incomparable mentoring I've received and to journey with a new community where you will get to be a part of their story because of the impact you have had on me. I think in his work with the Philippians, Paul found the nature of Christian community just like I have found here. And as he was filled with joy because of the time he spent with them, know that I consider it pure joy too to carry you with me as I go. I'll carry your kind smiles and your warm hugs. I'll carry your sacred trust and your deep teaching. I'll carry your example of what it means to be a disciple in pursuit of making other disciples and transforming this world. And because I knew you, I have been changed for good. So now, I'd like to share my prayer with you, and I'd like to do it in the way, the language that my soul first speaks through song.
Face toward you and favor be upon you and a thousand generations, your family, your children, their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, your family, your children, their children.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, your families, your children, their children, their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, your families, your children, their children, their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you.
Well, church, thank you. Wherever you go, go with peace and joy. Carry each other and go transform the world in the name of Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and be gracious to you, now and forever. And I won't say goodbye. Our work is to be continued. Amen.